The life of a college-bound high school student can be a highly regimented one between schoolwork, after-school activities, and the volunteer work that is more and more essential to college admissions these days. The transition to the demands of the college experience can be abrupt, and more young people are finding ways to build a gap year into their plans, and more productive ways to spend that year. Consultant Julia Rogers has been observing the trend and says it can have benefits beyond what you might expect.
I think the beauty of gap time is that it can be appropriate for different kinds of students. We have a misconception as a culture that a gap year might be for students who just don't go to college. But in reality, it's really supposed to be a deliberate time. And it can be appropriate for many different kinds of young persons. So whether it's because they, you know, have really excelled academically to the point of burnout and they really need a little bit of time to rest and recuperate from that.
Right.
Or they're experiential learners and they've never really excelled in the classroom and they want to gain confidence by experiencing the real world.
Yeah.
Or, you know, increasingly there's students who've suffered from, you know, mental illness, depression, anxiety, or learning differences, and they can really benefit from gap time to allow themselves some time for reflection and growth.
That year between graduating from, you know, that summer between graduating from high school and starting college is a very disorienting time, and I don't think too many feel all that prepared when they start college, do you think?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that young people these days are especially insulated. You know, it's harder to get summer jobs and it's harder to acquire internships and things like that. So a lot of students enter college feeling unprepared or not mature enough to really take advantage of it, or just without direction for their major or potential career path.
The whole idea of becoming a student again after your student, you know, after the pressure has peaked and then relaxed, you know, you wrote your lengthy term papers, you took your SATs, you got into college, and then there's that kind of relaxation of tension in the last couple of months of your senior year, and then you've got to sort of ratchet it up again. Does that in part describe the disorienting nature of that transition?
I think so. And, you know, one interesting piece of data that we are finding is that students who take a gap year actually do better academically once they start school. And studies have been done by Middlebury and UNC Chapel Hill, and both schools found that their gap year students, for the whole course of their college careers, do better with their GPAs, and anecdotally, they also do better socially and civically on campus. And we think it is because of that time to re-energize and reinvigorate their capacity and energy for learning.
What's a good way to spend a gap year?
Oh my gosh, there's so many great opportunities. I would say that the most important aspect of it is that it's purposeful and meaningful to the individual. But within that, there are so many activities that can be enriching. So a lot of students will contribute through service work. Some students will intern in an industry of their interests. Some students want to travel and see the world and experience a different culture or learn a language. Other students want to delve deeper into an area of interest, like learning how to rock climb or taking a course in glass blowing or something like that. So there's really, I mean, I think there's two paths. There's kind of the personal exploration as well as the career experience, and both are equally valid.
Parents and students alike are likely to respond to that with, where am I going to get the money?
Right. And I think that it is important to frame a gap year as it's not opposite of learning. It is a year of education. It's just an experiential form of education. And so there is an investment involved. For every family, that's different. You know, some families say, you know, I would spend X amount of dollars to make sure that my kid knows what they want to do once they get to college, and that's a worthwhile investment. Other people, I mean, if you, a student can save enough over the course of a summer or half a year to travel or do a program the second half of their year. So increasingly, you know, students are finding ways financially to make a gap year work. And then on the industry side, programs are trying to create more routes for funding. So providing scholarships, financial aid. Hopefully soon there will actually be FAFSA dollars available for certain gap year programs as well.
You know, a couple times, Julia, you've used the term experiential learner. And I'm reflecting on the fact that in my day, an experiential learner was just a poor student. Right. We didn't have that designation. We didn't understand it, I think, as well.
Right. Yeah, I think that we have evolved as a culture in understanding that there are so many different ways of learning and so many different types of people out there. And historically, we've really valued people who excel in a classroom. But the world needs creatives. The world needs people who can tinker and engineer things. And some of those people don't learn by just rote memorization or sitting still for 90 minutes while they listen to someone lecture. And I think that we need to respect that and create multiple paths for learning.
Could a gap year make it more difficult to go back into the classroom?
You know, it is important to acknowledge the fact that there is, just like there is a transition from high school into college, there's definitely a transitional period from gap year into college.
I would think.
Yeah. But we do find that statistically, 90% of students with the plans to go to college will end up at college. So we don't find that people are falling off and not actually ending up at college, but that transition period is mitigated somewhat by there's more common gap year clubs and kind of groups that are forming to kind of have that co-experience and talk about what they learned on their gap time and feel a little bit like they have a cohort back at school, too.
So you would start your freshman year at college and join a gap year club. That would be other students who've done the same thing?
Exactly. Or sometimes there's study abroad clubs that kind of provide a similar forum for people who've traveled or experienced a different culture and want to come together and talk about it and kind of have that, easy access back into home from feeling a little disoriented from being in a different place.
How do you gather the data that tell you all this?
Well, there's a governing body of the gap year industry called the American Gap Association, and they actually have a research team that's started doing surveys from gap year alumni, as well as working with people who are collecting that data and kind of putting it in forms that we can all disseminate.
The idea of gap year being institutionalized kind of makes it more, maybe makes it more accessible.
Yeah, I think that's really important, especially as Americans. We don't have the same tradition that Europeans and Australians do as far as the assumption that you go and travel as part of your younger years. That's been something that we've had to, that's happened in a different way and organically in our own American way. And I think that institutionalizing it through the American Gap Association gives some credibility to the idea, especially on the parent side of things. But then on the student side of things, there's still such a range of opportunities that if a student wants to buy a EuroRail pass and explore, they can do that. Or they can go to an extremely structured program that offers college credit and mentors and kind of structured learning experiences.
You can still do that EuroRail pass, stay at hostels, bum around Europe thing that people did oh so long ago?
You can, yeah. If
That's good news.
It is. And I think that a lot of students will do a combination of things. And usually some of that time is dedicated to independent travel, which we sometimes write off as, just bumming around Europe. But actually, you can really learn a lot of soft skills from independent travel, like creative problem solving and communication skills and just gaining independence that students don't have the same opportunities to get in high school these days.
I think that the whole idea of independence that you've referred to a couple of times is a little bit hard won in a structured environment, isn't it?
Right. And I think there's a lot of conversation these days about kind of the hyper-scheduled child and how students kind of go from school to their sports, to their extracurriculars, to their homework.
Right.
And they are scheduled to the brink. And it is no wonder that we're seeing more cases of, anxiety and depression in students, as well as just academic burnout once they actually get into college and have graduated high school. So it's not surprising.
Are the numbers telling you that more and more people are choosing the gap year?
I wish I could say that we have hard numbers, and we're trying to work on that. But in the meantime, we are seeing, as far as Google Analytics and things like that, just huge growth in, Google searches, as well as attendance in the USA Gap Year Fairs, which is a circuit of kind of college-like fairs, but just dedicated to the gap year option that run on the mainland.
Uh-huh.
Just a lot more discussion about it. People understand what the concept is, and they're excited about it.
Julia Rogers is the founder of En Route Consulting and an enthusiastic advocate of the gap year option. You can learn more about her and her work on The Conversations Facebook page.